Hello, Happy New Year, and God bless you on this first Sunday of the new year 2021. I hope you have your Bible with you so that we can look together at a few scriptures today. It is my prayer that you and I will know the heart of Christ as never before in this new year, so that come what may, we may be not only close to the heart of Christ, but really know the heart of Christ, perhaps in a new way. And that's what I'd like to share with you in our meditation this morning. So if you have your Bible, just a few readings in the New Testament. First of all, Paul's letter to the Philippians, and then a few verses from Hebrews, and then our text is found in Matthew's Gospel. Now, don't let that confuse you. I'll read it to you, but if you'd like to follow, first of all, in Philippians chapter 4, "Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love, whom I long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord, dear friends." Verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Don't be anxious about anything as we move into 2021, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and his promise, the peace of God, God's own peace, which transcends all understanding, that is, all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Then if you have your Bible, turn with me to Hebrews, and Hebrews chapter 12, the first few verses there. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." And then if you'll just turn with me to our text for this morning in Matthew chapter 11 and the words of Jesus at the end of chapter 11 of Matthew's Gospel. Verse 25, "At that time Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Friend, this is what Jesus is saying to you and to me at the end of a very difficult year and the beginning of a new year that's going to have all its challenges and difficulties. Jesus is saying to you, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." What wonderful words from Jesus as we move into this new year together. What does the Bible say about the heart of Christ? Dane Ortlund, in His excellent little book, Gentle and Lowly, helps us to understand this as he points out that here in our text in Matthew 11:29 is the only place where Jesus himself tells us about his own heart. And he doesn't say or give us the impression that his heart is austere and demanding or joyful and generous, but gentle and lowly. I am gentle and lowly in heart. The only place where Jesus tells us about his own heart. Now, I'm sure you know the heart in Scripture is the central animating source of all that we are, all that we do. It's kind of our motivation headquarters. It's not a part of who we are. In Scripture, our heart is really who we are. It is who we are, at the center and core of our being. Our heart defines us. Our heart directs us. It is our heart that is the driver of all our thoughts and intentions. When Jesus tells us what he is at his core, his essence, the center of his being, it is gentle and lowly, meek and humble. Isn't that something? Not harsh, not reactionary, not easily exasperated. He is the wisest, most understanding, most capable, most pure, most powerful person in the entire universe. But he is, at the center of his being, gentle and lowly. That is Christ's own definition of his own heart. His posture, therefore, is not that of the pointing or accusing finger, but of open and accepting arms. The words gentle and lowly overlap. They communicate a single reality about Jesus' heart. Certainly not showy, in fact, almost unimpressive, humble, approachable. He comes riding on a donkey. For all his resplendent glory and dazzling holiness, he is in his heart of hearts utterly approachable. He comes not to condemn, but to save. He comes saying, come, come, come to me, come to me. His bearing is one of noble humility, the most inviting person who ever lived. He beckons us to come to him, just as we are, and lay our burdens down. No hoops to jump through, no examinations to study for and pass cum laude or else. No payment required. Your burden is what qualifies you to come to Christ. Even if you're in the midst of a terrible or terrifying life-threatening storm, as the disciples were on Lake Galilee, he comes to you saying, don't be afraid, it's me. And he offers peace, his peace, peace that will destroy everything that attaches itself to chaos in your life. It's hard to get your mind around how tender and welcoming Jesus is, how accommodating, how willing, how understanding, how gentle and lowly he is, if you are penitent. If you are proud, you will not find him so. If you are insincere, if you are a hypocrite, if you are self-righteous, if you are arrogant or self-sufficient, you'll not find him so. But if you are repentant, if you are penitent, if you are contrite, if you have a humble spirit, a contrite heart, you will find Jesus almost unbelievably gentle, lowly and humble. His embrace will smother your insecurities, your doubts, your anxieties, even your sins. Gentleness is who Jesus is. It is his heart. He himself says so. He can't ungentle himself. He can't change what he is. Gentle and lowly is his defining reality, in his own words. To the penitent, he is endless kindness. When you're yoked in with him, your soul finds rest. His yoke is like helium in your balloon. when you get into his heart, when you really understand the heart of Christ, when you get into the core of his being, this precious Savior who came that first Christmas, this wonderful Redeemer who wants to walk with you into 2021, when you get into his heart, he buoys you up and he takes you along with him with such accommodating gentleness, loneliness, humility. When you take his yoke upon you, when he is your rabbi and you commit yourself to be his student, it's more like an embrace than a burden, because his heart is so gentle and lowly. He doesn't cringe when he sees us in our true state of fallenness and brokenness. He doesn't look down on us. He can't bear to hold himself back. He, as it were, lunges at us in his longing to embrace us. It's what's in his heart. He doesn't have a severe and sour disposition towards sinners. The infinitude of his holiness is matched effortlessly by the infinitude of his mercy and kindness. May I repeat that? The infinitude of the holiness of Jesus is matched effortlessly by the infinitude of his mercy, kindness, grace, lowliness. He is perfectly gentle in the abundance of his compassion. Come to me, he says. I'll release your burden of anxiety, your load of shame, your weight of guilt. Just take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. When you really get into the heart of Jesus, you find he couldn't stop himself touching the leper, healing the paralytic, releasing the demonized, raising the dead. Whether it was Mary of Magdala or the man of Gadara, possessed of a legion of demons, every human need ignited his pity, stirred his compassion. He was the friend of the socially reviled and the morally unclean. His gentle, lowly, and merciful heart gravitated naturally toward them. His authority way outstripped that of the doctors of philosophy and divinity of his time. But the most arresting element of his being, that all the Gospels bear witness to, was his love for sinners, his gentle and lowly heart. That he ate and drank with them, he healed them, he fed them when they were hungry, he offered living water for their thirsty soul. The way he accepted the tears of a sinful woman who for the first time in her life encountered grace. The way he forgave the most undeserving. Like rays that come naturally from the sun, compassion for the lost, the least, and the lowest flowed fully and freely from the heart of the gentle and lowly Jesus. This is the Jesus who wants to walk with you and me into 2021, despite all the difficulties and challenges, hardships, the ups and downs that we are inevitably going to face. Now, we're not denying here or in any way downplaying the holiness and justice and majesty and glory of Christ. We're simply saying that when you read the Gospels and see the heart of Christ, the affectionate heart of Christ, it would be impossible to make too much of it or over-celebrate it. The fact that Jesus presents himself to us with his heart that at its very core is gentle and lowly. In fact, it's hard to come to any other conclusion than this, that it's the very fallenness which he came to undo that is most irresistibly attractive to him. This is the astounding Jesus. He is attracted to our brokenness, our fallenness, our failure, our sin. He is attracted to us because he loves us. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes on him might not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the gospel. This is Jesus. When Jesus sees our fallenness and suffering, his most natural instinct is to move towards it, not turn away from it. Pity floods the heart of the gentle and lowly Jesus. When he sees the beautiful image of God disrupted by evil forces, he is angered. I love what Jürgen Moltmann says. Here I quote, "The healing miracles of Jesus are not supernatural miracles in a natural world. They're the only truly natural thing in an unnatural, demonized, and wounded world." Can I share it again? Moltmann says, "The healing miracles of Jesus are not supernatural miracles in a natural world. They are the only truly natural thing in an unnatural, demonized, and wounded world." With gentleness and lowliness, Jesus brings order where there is chaos. He brings clarity where there is confusion. He brings purity where there is defilement. He brings peace where there is strife. And he brings it with a heart that is gentle and lowly. The Hebrew word for peace, as you know, I'm sure, is the word shalom. And all languages, I suppose, at their root and at their beginnings, were pictorial as well as phonetic. The characters of many languages are, of course, little pictures that make up the word. And so we're directed to the fact by one author that the word shalom is made up of four letters in Hebrew that represent four pictures. The first letter, reading of course in Hebrew from right to left, is a picture of teeth. Kind of resemble our letter W, but it's a picture that means to destroy, to destruct. The second letter looks like a shepherd's staff, and it denotes authority. The third letter looks like a nail, and is like a conjunction. It conjugates, it joins together. It's an attaching letter. While the fourth letter is a picture of crashing waves of water associated with chaos. Now, when you put all those letters together, you see God's definition of peace, shalom, which is to destroy the authority that is attached to chaos. Now that's powerful indeed, is it not? When we say shalom, it is a declaration, it is a prayer, it is a desire, a heartfelt desire, I trust, that that authority that attaches itself to chaos, that which creates and causes chaos, will be brought down, destructed, destroyed. When we speak shalom in the name of Jesus, and in the Holy Spirit's gracious empowering, we are breaking the destructive forces that cause chaos. We are speaking the peace of God himself. That's what Jesus did in the midst of the storms of life, in this fallen, broken world where everything is unnatural because of sin. Jesus was able to do that in every storm he encountered, every situation where there was chaos, from the storm on Lake Galilee to the chaos that reigned in the life of the demoniac of Gadara that we read about in Mark chapter 4 and Mark chapter 5, these wonderful passages that show the author of the gospel of peace. Into the environment of the Pax Romana. Really, the Pax Romana was the subjection of the weak by the strong. That's how Rome ruled. And into that world, of the Pax Romana, Jesus brought peace. He brought it on a donkey. He brought it with a heart that was lowly and gentle. With that heart, he broke the authority over chaos. With that heart, he defeated Satan. With that heart, he was able to bring an end to sin, forgiving sin and delivering from the burden of sin. With that heart, he was able to heal the sick and raise the dead. He does it with gentleness and lowliness. And our feet are to be shod with the gospel of peace. When Paul delineates for us the armor of God in his letter to the Ephesians, he speaks about our feet being shod with the gospel of peace. Why does he call it the gospel of peace? Why does he say, blessed are the peacemakers? Because shalom, God's shalom, is that which destroys the authority which attaches itself to chaos. Whether it's the chaos of a mind that is depressed or disturbed, whether it's the chaos of emotions that are running awry, whether it's the chaos of a body that is racked by disease, and in the final analysis where it is the chaos sin has caused and the evil one has caused through bringing sin and death into the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, brings the good news that he can bring shalom where there is chaos. Whether it's chaos of spirit, soul, or body, mind, emotions, intellect. Shalom. May God, in his authority, in the name of Jesus, and through the Holy Spirit's power, destruct that which attaches itself to chaos in your life and mine. Shalom. As we move into a new year, shalom, my brother. Shalom, my sister. Jesus leaves us with his peace. My peace I give to you, a peace that the world cannot know. God's peace becomes then a weapon to disarm our adversary. We are now his peacemakers. Through the power of the gospel, we destroy the authority of the evil one who attaches himself to chaos. The devil, the creator of chaos, has been overcome, and is still today overcome by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. The Lamb of God is the Lion of Judah. He makes peace through his blood shed on the cross, this gentle and lowly Jesus. It's his way, for he is gentle and lowly of heart. And there's more joy in heaven. There's more joy in his gentle and lowly heart over one sinner who repents than over 99 self-righteous people who feel they have no need of repentance. And so, to bring our message to a conclusion, as we move into 2021, a year that begins with the chaos created by the coronavirus and its variants, we can only have hope in the gentle and lowly burden-bearer who is on the throne. We can know the peace of God which surpasses human comprehension. And so I'd like to read again, as we bring our little message to a conclusion, the words of the Apostle Paul to the Philippians, as he writes in Philippians chapter 4, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And so as you move into a new year, think about what is true, what is noble, what is right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent and praiseworthy. Think about such things and put them into practice and the God of peace will be with you. Jehovah Shalom will be with you to destroy the authority of everything that creates chaos in your mind, in your emotions, in your heart, in your body, in your life. Shalom, dear friend. Shalom. So the conclusion of the matter, once again, the writer to the Hebrews, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him, and you will not grow weary and lose heart. The heart of Christ, in his own definition, gentle and lowly. Just the heart that you need. And so won't you heed his invitation at the beginning of this new year? Listen to Jesus and do what he says. Come to me. Come to me, he says, with his gentle and lowly heart. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that as we move into 2021, we can fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Thank you that you not only are committed to the beginning of our Christian walk, but you are committed to the duration and to the end. Thank you that having begun a good work in us, you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ. And thank you, dear Lord, that as we live from the first to the second coming of Jesus, looking forward to that second advent when he will return and we shall be changed to be like him when we see him as he is, and we shall be forever with the Lord. We thank you that until that moment, no matter what we pass through, we have a shepherd that says to us, fear no evil, for I am with you. My rod and my staff, they comfort you. Lord, you even prepare a table before us in the midst of our enemies, the enemy of the coronavirus. Whatever enemies we face, we thank you, Lord, that you remain the abundant God, the God who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or even imagine by your mighty power that is at work within us. And so grant that we may know your shalom and help us to be peacemakers in this new year. Grant, dear Heavenly Father, that we may take your presence with us and be able to exude and speak your shalom into every chaotic situation. We thank you, dear Lord, that fear has to retreat, anxiety has to retreat, every evil thing has to retreat in the presence of the Prince of Peace. And so we praise you, our Father, that we can commend one another to you in the strong name of Jesus, praying that you, the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, would you equip us with everything good, that we may do your will as you work in us that which is pleasing in your sight. So now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Heavenly Father and the comfort and communion, the peace of the Holy Spirit, be with you all evermore. Amen.
Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto the ancient.